Welcome to Salcedo Paranormal. It is 11/23/2021. And today again is more true ghost stories from the web. Today is going to be a little bit different because a couple of the stories that I found that are really they're really good, but they're long. So we might only get through three or maybe four stories today, but I think it'll be worth it. The couple that are long are decent. Of course, I just for anyone that doesn't know, at this point now I do read through the stories in advance because I tried it the other way at first, and it was fun being surprised sometimes along with the listeners, but other times it wasn't so fun. So that's why I always screen the stories now that I read on the show. So, as always, to find all episodes of the podcast, along with social media links and ways to donate, you can visit the podcast page, which is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. And in order to send me either questions or comments or topic suggestions for the Friday shows, which is where I'll be doing those now, except for this Friday because of Thanksgiving here in the U.S. You can send me all that, or you can send me stories of experiences, whether they're your own or others that you trust. All that can be sent to my email address, and that is salcedoparanormal@gmail.com. Salcedo is spelled S-A-L-S-I-D-O. And I believe that takes care of all of that. So, just checking on the bot here. I've noticed I've had a couple of times where the bot that I used to record all this basically stopped working after the first minute, but it looks like it's working okay today, which is good. So, I will get to these stories, and like I said, it'll probably only be a few. I have 7 of them picked out, but we may only get through 3 or 4 today. But like I said, I think they're worth it. Interesting stories. So, let me see here. Looks like we're good on the with the recording, so I guess I'll just get to it here. As soon as I get some water, apparently. So, this first one says, so I have a cousin, and for work, he travels a lot to do construction. Recently, he told me a story while we were in his car that he experienced. Yeah, I'm sorry. The cat's trying to get my attention, and it's okay, but not so much what I'm reading. So we're in his car that he experienced, the story that he experienced, and not only shook him, but me as well. My cousin, who we'll call C, was working somewhere in Georgia, probably, and his boss, who he calls, M, were drinking and driving. I know, not safe of them to do, which obviously is true, back to where they were staying. A key moment that C recalls was when they were driving by a cemetery. M told C, translated in Spanish, to pay respects to the dead. But my cousin, being drunk and just being crazy in general, said something along the lines of, F them, earth is for the living, we're alive and they're dead. Keep this moment in mind, since we'll touch back on it and I guess I mean later. Once they arrived, skipping over to late at night, my cousin recalls trying to sleep at night when he woke up and saw M standing at the doorway, but looking like a shadow. C stated that when M is drunk, he likes to get violent and fight people. My cousin thought the worst and believed that he was going to have to fight his own boss, or at least defend himself as to not get hurt. C mentioned that he called out to M, telling him not to do this, but he wouldn't respond. So C said to at least turn the lights on, if they were going to fight. Still no response. C walked up to M, getting close to him and turning on the light. But once he did, he stated that M, or whatever was in front of him, disappeared. My cousin was obviously confused, and I was pretty confused as well, hearing this in the car. Touching what to back I said earlier, my cousin theorized that after he insulted the spirits in the cemetery, a ghost followed him back to the place they were staying and maybe got revenge for what was said. That was my cousin's experience with the paranormal, and he has told me other stories, but this is the one that shocked me the most. So, that's an interesting story. Does sound like the guy kind of asked for it, and I don't ever want to say got what he deserved, but maybe, possibly, yeah. That's never a smart thing to do. It's funny. I think we were talking about this in a voice chat another night. But yeah, Lily says respect the dead, and Lily in chat here, but yeah, it's, I thought that was a interesting ending to that one, just that someone was decided, okay, well, if you're gonna talk like that, I'm gonna come and visit you, apparently, and that's what they did. Although, I wonder, how much the person looked like their friend, or their boss, I mean, or if it was just a general shape. That's an interesting detail that would be good to know, but still, I thought that was an interesting one to start out with. So yeah, that's it too. Even if you're not sure you believe, or you don't think you believe in anything paranormal or supernatural, there are enough stories out there where I would always recommend that you always be respectful, no matter where you're at in general anyway, but just in terms of cemeteries, any kind of religious areas, sacred areas, just don't be a jerk, you know? I think that's a good way to go, and you're less likely to have maybe some experiences like that, like in that story, if you are more kind in those situations. So, but I know people. I mean, people don't think about that, or they just don't know, and that's where these stories come from. So. But, so we'll get on with the second story here. This is one of the two longer ones, but, hopefully you all like it, because I thought it was really interesting. So, this one says, I grew up a skeptic. In fact, in my senior year of high school, this weird person in my my English class once onto the floor had spelled get out or something, and my teacher gave her a look as if to say, what the heck? I let out a legitimate sneeze, but ever the sucker for well-timed jokes, I said, oh, sorry guys, I'm allergic to BS. Just loud enough to where my friends could hear. It got some laughs. Fast forward a whole year. I was in college during the day, and I worked at a major fast food chain during the night. I worked for a small franchise. If you don't know how that works, essentially a franchise owner makes their own executive decisions while adhering to basic guidelines that the corporation establishes and gives the franchise owners permission to use their brand. Anyway, one of the liberties my owner at that time took was she had her stores close at 1 a.m. instead of staying open 24 hours a day, like most locations. During the summer of 2013, however, she opted to try keeping us open overnight and into the morning. Aside from seriously angering me and the others that worked there, since nobody wanted the closing shift, it was me and four girls who cycled throughout the week, so we could all get 2 days off a week. It wasn't too terrible. Because the store closed at 1 a.m., and we'd typically be out of there by 1:30 a.m., the store was usually empty from that time until about 4 a.m., when the morning crew would come in. We were in a gas station, one of those half gas stations, half restaurants, and at 11 p.m., we would lock the only exterior entrance to the dining room, and we would close the gate, which, apart from being unnecessarily noisy, was the only other way to get into the restaurant from the convenience store we shared a building with. But the drive-thru would remain open until closing. It was a good system. It worked for everyone. When we switched to being a 24-hour location, the dining room still closed at 11 p.m., but the drive-thru would remain open. The layout of the store was such that you could see all the way to the back of the kitchen from the dining room and all the way into the dining room from the kitchen. In other words, there was nothing people on either side of the counter couldn't see. On the first night, not being used to the schedule, it was quite busy and we were really slammed, but that was the only night with that issue. Every night after that was dead. This did afford us some time to clean things we wouldn't ordinarily do, however. Oh, I lost my spot. Okay. One night, about a week after the new schedule went into effect, I found myself cleaning the shake machine when I heard a noise and turned around. Excuse me. What I saw walking the length of the counter on the customer side was the form of a human from the mid-thigh up, except it was all black, like a walking shadow. It walked from the side of the counter by the outside door, which was locked, to the other end of the counter, where there was a space between it and the wall for employees to come back. That's also the end of the counter with the gate, which, as I mentioned before, was closed and locked. And if you touched it, it would rattle very loudly. I was certain my eyes deceived me, so I went out to the dining room and checked the door, which was certainly locked, as it was about 3 a.m. I figured it was my imagination. Then the next night happened. I was further back in the kitchen, cleaning the grill, and turned to my left to grab a brush, and I saw the exact same thing as the night before, and my blood ran cold, as it is doing as I write this. But I still didn't say anything, thinking it was just my imagination. I had the next two nights off, and the night I came back, it was my turn to do dishes, and one of the girls' turn to do the grill. I was scrubbing a dirty spatula or something, and then I heard something behind me. So I looked, and I saw the girl there looking in the direction of the front, but otherwise motionless. I noticed the time was around 3:15 a.m. I knew what she saw, so after a minute of watching her stand there with her back to me, motionless and staring at the front, I said, "Tell me what you just saw." And she explained, in detail, the exact thing I had seen my two previous shifts. I said something to the effect of, "So now you've seen it too," or something, and she got creeped out. I knew then what I had seen was a ghost. We decided not to tell any of the others so they, A, wouldn't think we were crazy, and B, on the off chance they believed us, we didn't want to freak them out. Excuse me. This strategy didn't keep a lid on things for too long, though, because the very next night, I was working with another one of the girls who saw it and immediately freaked out, causing our manager to come out of the office and ask what had happened. Before she could get out the whole story, the manager stopped her and said, "Oh, that's just George. Remember the name, so we'll just say George." And both the girl and I looked at her, and obviously, she understood we wanted her to elaborate. She explained that when she started, a few years before this took place, she knew an employee who knew someone from when they started years prior who worked there when the store opened some 20 years ago. She said she didn't know the details, but an employee died somehow, and weird stuff started happening soon afterward. This was something we lived with nightly for a few months. Sometimes we'd remark that we saw it, other times not. We would tell any new manager. Some had seen it themselves, some had only heard of it. Some believed it, others didn't. But we never told new employees about it. We didn't want them to get scared or think we were hazing them. I began dating a manager, which was a no-no, so I was getting transferred to another store down the road within the franchise. About 3 or 4 days before I was due to transfer, it dawned on me that one of the morning ladies had worked there since it opened. So one morning when she came in, we all stayed after our shifts were over to talk to her on her first break. It was a payday, so we were going to wait for the store manager to pick up the paychecks and bring them in at about 5 a.m. anyway. There were 3 or 4 of us, including the woman, sitting in the break room. I was sitting at the large round table, and the others were sitting on the bench against the wall, nowhere near the table. We decided to tell her about what we had been experiencing, And she immediately finished our own thoughts by telling us what we were about to say, describing it in perfect detail. She went on to tell us that there was a guy in his mid-20s back about a year after the store was built who was very troubled and killed himself in a very violent manner involving a propane explosion in his car. At the time the story takes place, there was a large bound journal with a page or two for every day of the year. It was the responsibility of the staff to write their day off requests in advance in this book, which our manager would refer to when making the week's schedule. That book was the only thing sitting on that table I was sitting at. And remember, there was nobody else near that table. Well, when I found out the way he died, Ever the Jokester, remember the beginning of the story, I made some smart remark that I don't remember that was less than sensitive about the guy. And no sooner did the words leave my mouth than the big book flew off the table as if I had pushed it. We all got up and got the heck out of there. I didn't pick up my check until 3 days later, which was my next, and by coincidence, my last shift there. And that's where that one ends. So that was an interesting one there. It's a lot of people having experiences. I thought that was a really interesting story, and I can see, yeah, we're already probably get to one more, maybe another short one, but, I just thought that was really interesting. So many people had, seen the same thing, and then that last part, yeah, I mean, sounds like the guy telling the story was not the nicest, and, sounds like whoever was there, or whatever was there, reacted to it. His words, so. I thought that was a really interesting story. So. But, when you have several people like that, it sounds like there were people all through the years that had seen the same figure. It makes me wonder, though, if they were seeing it going through the same way, if they saw it going through the same path every time. It makes me wonder if at least that part of it was residual, if that part of it was just either a energy field left over by the person from their emotions or that kind of thing, or again, if it was kind of my new favorite theory, if it's more of a time thing where they were just witnessing that person in shadow form going through the store, almost going through their regular work, but they look like a shadow to the people that are there in the present. Interesting possibilities there. At least as having a ghost in the store, you wonder if they act like security guards. And I wonder about that too in places where if a person feels any kind of attachment to a place, if they wouldn't, for whatever reason, want to, if they wouldn't want to stay there and keep an eye on the place and make sure everything is going okay. I don't know about that one, but that was an interesting one. So, let's see here. So I think I'll move on to the next one. And it's another long one. So here we go. It says, I grew up in not one, but two different haunted houses. When I was 2 years old, my family moved from a major city in Colorado to the suburb of another city in Michigan, which is kind of funny because that's where I live. We lived in this small Dutch colonial style house for several years. My first paranormal encounter occurred on a Saturday morning when I was about 5 years old. My grandmother had come by for breakfast. After I finished eating, I decided to watch some Saturday morning cartoons. This is obviously a little while ago, at least in the U.S., because if they're talking about the cartoons that were only on Saturdays, then, yeah, this was some years ago now. So I watched cartoons on the television in our basement. I opened the basement door and was about to turn on the light when I saw something at the base of the stairs. The basement was divided in half, and the stairs ran along this dividing wall. The left half of the basement was a family room, and the right half of the basement was my father's workshop. The door in the wall dividing the two rooms was at the base of the stairs on the right. What I saw looked to me like a sort of translucent fog or mist, and moved in a way that I can best describe as like billowing fabric underwater, a sort of slow, eerie grace. The shape passed the base of the stairs and went through the doorway. Of course, being a five-year-old with no survival instinct, I immediately went down to look for it, but didn't find anything. I ran back upstairs and told everyone that I had seen a ghost, but of course, nobody believed me. It wasn't until many years later that my mother admitted that she sometimes felt as though someone was walking past her on the stairs in the house. After a few years, we moved to a completely normal house further out into the country. It wasn't until I was 12 years old that we moved to a 150-plus-year-old house, farmhouse, in the boondocks outside of another city in Michigan. Might even be a small town. I never heard it before. I'm trying not to use names on the show, just in case anyone's wondering. The house itself is a historic site, given its age, and its unique octagon-shaped layout. Octagon houses are interesting. Just throwing that in there. Sorry I'm adding so much, but just thoughts as they come to me. This old manor house is supposedly haunted by multiple spirits, and we've encountered many forms of paranormal activity. One of the first occurrences we encountered was shortly after moving in. We hired a contractor who had done several projects for us in past homes to build closets in my room and my younger brother's room. It's important to note that given our familiarity with this man, we were entirely comfortable leaving him alone in our home to work. On this particular day, my mother had left to pick me up from the bus stop at the end of the road. The school bus never actually drove down our stretch of road. Upon arriving home, I had intended to take my school bag up to my bedroom, but when I got to the stairs, I saw him, I'm guessing they mean that contractor, standing at the top. Prior to this, I had never actually seen someone turn white. I could immediately tell something was wrong, so I called my mom over because he looked like he was about to pass out and fall down the stairs. He asked us whether the house was haunted, and my mother and I exchanged a look. The previous owner had made several claims about unusual activity in the house when we were negotiating the purchase. So we asked him what had happened. Apparently, he had left his tools strewn about the floor in my brother's room and went out to cut a board on the table saw in the garage. And upon returning to the room, he found that all of his tools had been put away. He was the only witness to this event, but he was clearly very shaken up. If I can talk, that'd be good. Shaken up about it. So I have no doubt that something strange really happened. The next noteworthy occurrence took my brother and I by surprise. One day we were eating breakfast together in the kitchen when my mom came in demanding to know which one of us kept flipping over the rug in the upstairs hallway outside of her sewing room. Neither of us had any idea what she was talking about, but apparently she would repeatedly go upstairs to find that the rug had been flipped over. Finally, and feeling a bit silly while doing so, she stood on the rug, loudly proclaimed that she preferred that it be left alone. It never once flipped over again. Let me just take a pause here. Sorry about that, my nose is somewhat messing with me tonight, apparently. Get back to the story here. Over the year, we had several smaller incidents. Hearing voices or footsteps in other rooms or upstairs when nobody was there. Knocks on the doors or doors opening and fully closing on their own. The anomalous smells of perfume or cigarette smoke. None of my family members are cigarette smokers. As well as electronics turning on or off, and the occasional moving or disappearance and reappearance of objects. Case in point, one morning before school, I'm looking for my wristwatch. I search my admittedly messy desktop and cannot find it, so I check the bathroom to see whether I had taken it off before my shower the night before. With no luck finding it in the bathroom, I return to my bedroom to find a space cleared off on my desk the size of a dinner plate with my watch sitting very obviously right in the center of it. There's absolutely no way I could have missed that. I miss seeing that. As the years have passed, the incidents have become fewer and further between. The most recent being in 2015, on one of my return trips home, after living and working abroad for several years. My grandfather helped us make the down payment on the house in exchange for having a large bedroom suite reserved for him when he'd come to visit. And on my return trips home, I'd taken to staying in that room rather than my old redecorated bedroom. The bed was bigger and more comfortable, and the room had its own TV. This was perhaps 1 or 2 years after he died of a stroke. On my very first night back, I was laying on my side in the dark with my eyes open and saw an orb of white light illuminate the room for about 3/4 of a second before blinking out. And the following morning, I was awoken from a dead sleep by a sharp flick to my ear, something my grandfather was rather fond of doing when someone was sleeping in too late. Obviously, as I've spent more time away from the home, I've missed out on any ongoing activity. The only other thing worth mentioning at this point is the guest bedroom. When I'm home, I make a point of avoiding this room whenever I can. I've always been more sensitive than other family members to certain phenomena, and it's for this reason that I try to stay out of this particular room. The history of the house is long and not especially morbid for the most part. A few of the original owner's family members died of illness in the house, pneumonia, I think. The young son of one owner was killed in an accident involving a horse-drawn cart. And most unsettling, the daughter of one of the original owners hung herself in one of the rooms when her father sent away an immigrant farmhand she had fallen in love with. I have a feeling that this guest room is the place where she died. I always feel very uncomfortable in there. Even thinking about the room makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand up as I type this. And that's basically it. That's it. So, that's quite a lot of experiences in that, well, in two homes. But I think it's interesting that there was activity in both homes. Then also, once the writer's grandfather had passed, may have come back. Sounds like he may have come back and visited as well. So that's really, really interesting how that worked. So, then yeah, Lily says the property he lived at had an octagon house. Yeah, they really are interesting, even just from a just a look at them. But it makes me wonder now what kind of what that does to energy that is in a place. Having different rooms, different shapes, and all that, if that's the case. So. Also, Lily says, wow, I could do with a housekeeper like that as a ghost, the one that put away the tools. Yeah. Yeah, I could use one that would do dishes. That'd be useful, but yeah, so that's a few stories. Like I said, I've got a few more, but I think that'll do it for today. we'll just leave the other ones for tomorrow. Tomorrow night will be the last show of the week due to Thanksgiving in the U.S. Lee says the place where it was on top of a mountain. Energy there was very high. Yeah, I believe it. I think there's definitely something to mountains just having different energy. So yeah, no, I think that's I'm really glad I found those two stories because they were long, but I think they were worth it. And because there was so much activity in the places, and it's so funny how they couldn't be less alike. One was a restaurant, gas station restaurant even, and one was two warehouses. Makes me wonder if anyone in the gas station convenience store part of that place ever had anything happen. So, yeah, that's interesting. But I think that'll do it for tonight. Thank you all for listening, and whether it's live or on the podcast, I always appreciate it. And I'll do, like I said, one more show tomorrow night, another True Ghost Stories from the Web. And then I'll be taking Thursday and Friday off. But then starting in December, I'll be back 5 days a week, at least for as long as I can throughout that month. I'm sure there'll be some days I take off due to family gatherings and all that, but I'm enjoying this five days a week schedule overall. It's a lot of research, but it's a lot of fun. So, thank you all for being here, and have a good night.